Moving through the Bible, we're getting close to the end, as we are now in 1 John chapter 1 this week. This morning we'd like to sort of center on verse 5, but we will look at it in its whole context. But John tells us in verse 5, "This then is the message we have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God had a message he wanted to impart unto man. The eternal, the true and the living God, the one who created the heaven and the earth, the God who transcends time and space, the God who is infinite in power and wisdom and glory. This infinite God wanted to reveal the basic nature of himself to finite man. And for this purpose, God sent his Son, Jesus the Messiah, who was the express image of the Father, who was the outshining or the effulgence of his glory. The Bible says that no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath manifested or made him known. Jesus is the bright shining light that comes to us from God. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In a sense, you could say that no one has actually seen the sun. You say, "Well, I see the sun almost every day living here in Southern California, sunny California." Well, I don't think any of you have ever really seen the sun. You see the brightness, the shining that comes from the sun, but you haven't actually seen the sun itself. You can't see the sun because of the brightness of the shining that comes forth from the sun. In the same token, the Bible says, no man has seen the Father at any time. But we see the Son who shines forth in the effulgence. He is the outshining. He is the effulgence, we are told in Hebrews, of God. So that though we haven't seen God, we see the light of God in the person of Jesus Christ. He came with an important message. This is the message, John said. We have heard of him. Who is the him? In verse 1, John talks about him. He said, that which was from the beginning. In his gospel, he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then John tells us a few verses down, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the messenger is none other than God himself. As John said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Here John said, that which was from the beginning, the one who has existed throughout eternity. whom we heard. We saw him. We gazed steadfastly upon him, and we touched him. John and the disciples came to the awesome realization that as they heard the words of Jesus speaking to them, they were actually listening to the voice of God speaking to them. As they looked at Jesus, they were actually looking at God. As they gazed steadfastly upon him as he performed the miracles and stood there in his glory, they were actually looking at the glory of God. As they touched him, they touched God. As he touched them, God was touching them. As they embraced him, they were embracing God. And how awesome this realization was when they realized who Jesus actually was. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He came to bring a message. That which we have seen and heard, John said, we declare unto you. And this is the message, that God is light. Light symbolizes many things to us. Light is a symbol for purity. You really don't have adulterated light. It stands for purity from a moral standpoint. From a philosophical standpoint, light represents truth. It may be that you have been studying a subject that you really didn't understand or know. But now that you've made a study of it, you say, well, I have been enlightened on that subject. It means that you've come to understand the truth of that issue. It could be that a college professor would say to the class, I want to enlighten you on this issue. It means he's wanting to reveal to you knowledge and understanding. God is light. He is truth. He is knowledge. We had a period in history that was marked by superstition and ignorance. That period of history is known commonly as the Dark Ages. And they were followed by the Age of Enlightenment, when men came out of their superstition and ignorance and began to understand more completely and more fully the issues of life. This is the message that we have heard, this central message. God is light. Light is a revealer. Jesus said, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither will he come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest that they are wrought in God. The book of Proverbs speaks about the evil man, and it says, he leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness. And again in Proverbs we read, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The Lord took the prophet Ezekiel into the minds of the leaders of the nation of Israel. He allowed him to see what their thoughts were. sort of like a mind reader, he could see their thoughts, what they were thinking. And God said to him, "You have seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark. Every man in the secret chambers of his own imagination. For they say, 'The Lord doesn't see us. The Lord has forsaken the earth.'" They walk in darkness. Their minds are darkness because they are alienated from God. It's interesting that the very first creative act after the original creation that is recorded in the book of Genesis is on the first day, God said, "And let there be light." And there was light. God is light. Paul told Timothy that God dwells in a light that no man can approach. In Psalm 104, he declares that, the psalmist declares that God covers himself with light as a garment. And in Revelation, we read in chapter 21 that the new city in heaven has no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God will lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. Light and darkness are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist. It is either light or it is either dark. But you can't have a light-dark day existing at the same moment because light always dispels darkness. And because God is light, the darkness is dispelled, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Paul asked the question to the Corinthians, "What fellowship hath light with darkness?" What communion? How can they coexist? And the truth is, they don't. They can't. Isaiah was prophesying of a day when the people that walked in darkness would see a great light. They that dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light would shine. Some 600 years later, Zacharias, the priest, the father of John the Baptist, prophesying of Jesus, said, "Whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us to give light to those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet in the ways of peace." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." When Jesus called Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles, he said, "Paul, I want you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by their faith in Jesus Christ." And so the message is that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The messenger is none other than God, who came in flesh to bring this essential message to man. The purpose of the message was to bring men into fellowship with God. John goes on to say, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ." When God created man, God created man for fellowship. God longed to have fellowship, meaningful fellowship, with his creation. He created man for the specific purpose of having fellowship, a loving fellowship with him. And thus, he created and designed man so that the fellowship he would have with him would indeed be meaningful. And thus, he gave us a choice so that the relationship might be a meaningful relationship. He didn't create you as a robot. He didn't make you as a paper doll, as the Mills Brothers used to sing about the paper doll. I'm going to buy a paper doll that I can call my own, a doll that other fellows cannot steal. Then those flirty guys with their flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. For when I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all the world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than to have a fickle-minded, real-life girl. Maybe they would, not me. You can't get meaningful love from a paper doll. I'll choose a real, live, fickle-minded girl any day. It's Valentine's Day. I'll take her. I have her. And I would prefer her over any beautiful paper doll. Because the relationship needs to be meaningful. Choice is, therefore, necessary. I can choose, Adam could choose, to live in darkness or to live in light, to follow his own lust in the way of darkness, or to follow the commands of God and live in fellowship with God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, when John is taken into heaven, he sees the throne of God. He sees the angels around the throne as they are worshiping God. He watches the 24 elders who have lesser thrones. In response to the worship of the cherubim, they fall on their faces. They take the golden crowns that are on their head. They cast them on the glassy sea before the Lord. And they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure, they are and were created." God created all things. That includes you. For his own pleasure. Jesus said, "I do always those things that please the Father." You see, there are many people who say, "Well, I am going to please myself. I'm going to live to please myself." And they live a self-centered life. Their goal is to please themselves. But in following this self-pleasure, it leads them into darkness. It alienates them from God. And now, not fulfilling the purpose of their existence, not living in fellowship with God, they find that life is very unfulfilling. They get on that treadmill where they seem to run faster and faster, but they are getting nowhere. They seem to end up where they've started, with just a yearning, a longing, a hungering, a thirsting, but yet never fulfilled. Because living for yourself is the emptiest kind of an existence that anyone could ever have. It is not until you learn to live for God that you find meaning and purpose in life. Jesus said, "He who seeks to save his life will lose it. But if you will lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, you'll find it. Real life is a life that is in fellowship with God. It is a life of joy and peace and contentment. We read in Genesis that Adam heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God had created Adam for fellowship. There is a poem called God's Trombones. There is a phrase that I like. I don't think it is theologically correct, but I like it. It says, "And God said, I'm lonely. And so he created man out of the dust of the earth that he might have fellowship." Well, I don't know that God was lonely, but I know that God did create man for fellowship. And God was coming into the garden to walk in fellowship with Adam. But Adam sought to hide himself from the presence of God because he was aware of his sin. He had disobeyed the commandment of God. And he realized that he was out of fellowship, out of harmony with God. Sin always breaks fellowship with God. In him is no darkness at all. Sin, which is in the realm of darkness and death, it alienates a man from God. And thus, Adam was hiding himself. It was Adam that broke the fellowship. And in disobeying God, in his sin, he found that there were disastrous consequences of that sin. The first being spiritual death. At that moment, his spirit died. And with the death of the spirit, darkness enveloped him. And the fellowship with God was broken. The Bible tells us that God's hand is not short, that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sin has separated you from God. That is the effect of sin always. But because of the death of the Spirit, there is the severing of fellowship. Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And God is seeking such to worship him. But as the result of sin, the spirit is dead. And thus, fellowship with God is broken. And man has to again be alive to the spirit, in the spirit. His spirit has to come alive in order to have fellowship with God. Jesus said, "You've got to be born again," to Nicodemus. He said, "How can that be? I'm an old man. I can't be born again." Jesus said, "No, you were born once of the flesh, and that which is of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit." You've got to have a spiritual birth, Nicodemus. If you're going to understand and enter the kingdom of heaven, there's got to be a spiritual birth. That which died when Adam sinned has to come alive in you, the spirit. And Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, "And you has he made alive who were once dead in your trespasses and sins." With my spirit alive, I now can have fellowship with God again, and I can have now the real fulfillment of knowing that I am God's child, living in fellowship with God. God loves you. And God desires and longs for fellowship with you. But don't be deceived. If you are walking in darkness, you cannot be living in fellowship with God. John tells us here, if we say that we have fellowship with him, we lie. We don't know the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And then John tells us that in that place, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, or is continually cleansing us from sin as we walk in the light as he is in the light. Sin, the very thing that killed the fellowship with God, has been removed by the death of Jesus Christ. He died that we might live spiritually. He died that we might know the joy and the contentment that comes from living with God in fellowship with him. So, the result of believing the message is restored fellowship with God, which brings, first of all, fullness of joy. As John said, that which we have seen and heard, we declared unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. The fullness of joy that results from fellowship with God, now responding and answering to the very basic purpose of my existence. God created me for fellowship, and now as I live in fellowship with God, life is so rich. It is so filled with joy. And it is so peaceful. I'm no longer at war with God. I'm no longer fighting against God. I've surrendered now my life to him. I've laid down myself, my own desires, my own ambitions, my own wishes, my own lust. I've set them aside that I might do his will, surrendering to his mastery of my life. And once you surrender, you experience what Peter calls peace that passes human understanding. Joy, peace. Fellowship with God brings you into a loving relationship. Love divine, all loves excelling. Nothing like the love that God has for us can be equaled by any love that the world may offer. So often the love that the world offers is empty, it's a sham, it's shallow. But oh, the depth of the riches of the love of Jesus Christ. And Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they might know the height, the length, the depth of the love of Christ and how rich it is. Living in fellowship with God brings you a sense of fulfillment. Now answering the very basic purpose of existence, because I am now what God created me to be, I feel satisfied, I feel fulfilled, I'm content. I guess the question is, do you want to live in darkness or in light? Do you want a life of joy or misery? Do you want a life of turmoil or of peace? Do you want to be mastered by hatred, bitterness, or love? Do you want fulfillment or emptiness and frustration? The message that Jesus brought, you can believe it or not. God leaves that choice up to you. He doesn't want to force himself upon you. That wouldn't be meaningful. He has given you choice, and you can choose to live in the light as he is in the light, to walk in the light, and to be freed from the guilt of sin as the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. That's the message of God to man. Jesus, God's Son, was the messenger. That's the truth of God. He is light. In him is no darkness at all. And he invites you to live in the light of his love and grace and glory, if you so choose. So we pray, Father, how grateful we are that the light of the gospel has shined unto us, and that we have been able to come to the light and to walk in the light. Now, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to those here today. There are some, Lord, who are living in deception. They've been deceived into thinking that they still have fellowship with you, but they've opened the door, as did Adam, to darkness. And because of the darkness that is mastering their lives, they've lost that joy, that peace, that fulfillment. They're listening to the lies of Satan, even as Adam did, or as Eve did. And Lord, they think that they can find happiness and fulfillment by following their flesh. But Lord, what a lie and deceit that is. Help them, Lord. Deliver them, Lord, from the power of darkness. May they come into the kingdom of light and life in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here in the front this morning to pray with you. Maybe some of you have opened the door, walking after your flesh. You've given darkness a foothold in your life. You feel an emptiness today. You don't have that joy that you once had, that peace that you once knew. There's a turmoil going on inside of you because of the things that you've allowed and are now doing, but your heart longs to come back into fellowship with God. I encourage you, come on down. They're here to pray for you and to help you to discover today once more the joy, the glory, the blessedness, the beauty of living in fellowship with God. Maybe some of you have never known what it is to live in fellowship. And today, the light of the gospel has come to you. An understanding. You now begin to understand why Jesus came and the message that he brought. And you would like to be free from sin, from the self-life. You'd like to live a life that is worthwhile and meaningful. I encourage you to come down. They'll be glad to, if you need, explain to you further what the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ is all about. And you too can know what it is to be a child of God and live in a loving relationship with him. May the Lord be with you and bless you, and may you indeed live in fellowship with the living God this week, walking in the light as He is in the light, enjoying fellowship with Him.